Junkies NFT Talk, turn it on. Crypto Junkies NFT Talk, that's my show.
Hello, let's talk crypto. Which way to go? Need right info. I'm a junkie for the knowledge, you got it. Technology on the move, we ride.
Welcome back to another episode. We are so excited to have you tuning in. This is episode 3. We're going to continue to do our best to do it better each and every time around. My name is Raul Garcia, also known as Ragnar4, and these are my partners with me here that are going to bring the fun and the education.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Alexis Morales, aka Havoc. Thank you for joining us in Crypto Junkies episode number 3.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Daniel Toledo, aka ThunderMonkey.eth. All right, everybody. So we're going to get into kind of the introduction of how you get started with crypto. So do any of you guys have any tips starting off with crypto? Any things for beginners?
Yeah, definitely. So before we get into like what type of exchanges or hot wallet versus the cold wallet and all that information, the first thing that you must do is know where to find your information, so your resources. So whenever I tell someone how to get started, my first tidbit is go and follow Gary Vee, and then follow everyone that he follows that has NFTs or crypto or anything like that in their bio.
Why Gary Vee though?
Gary Vee because he's from my perspective, someone who's followed him, he's a reliable source. He's a person that is well known. He moves the market by what he says, but he also does a lot of homework on what he's doing. So he's never going to inform you about something without having done his homework prior. And also he's one of the people that is leading the way for new people to get into the crypto space.
Yeah, no, so I agree on that. Twitter has become pretty much the main social media for NFTs. Do you guys agree on that? I mean,
yeah, right? 100%.
Twitter?
Yeah,
Twitter is, in the NFT space, Twitter is popping. Yeah. Now, I personally have not used Twitter in a very, very long time. I actually got into my Twitter account and it says that I created it in 2012, which was a decade ago.
Yeah.
I literally only started using my Twitter. I think I had like maybe 10 to 20 tweets on my account.
Okay.
And that was in, you know, that was from 10 years ago. I got my Twitter and I started using it in May of this year,
right?
Because of NFTs. Right now I'm closing in on 2000 tweets.
Wow.
Oh, dang. Yeah. All right. Well, shit, man. Shout out Twitter for sure. But I agree with Raul. I follow a bunch of NFT enthusiasts and you have a bunch of platforms on there as well who are always keeping the community updated. So yeah, that's one thing I definitely recommend is hop onto Twitter, make yourself an account, download Twitter, what is it? Twitter Blue. You can add your NFT profile picture. If you want.
Let's talk about that real quick. Go just an overview on Twitter. So with Twitter Blue, it's a subscription that you have to pay $2.99 a month. And if you're into staking looks, then that's no problem. You got that $2.99.
Hey, shouts out looks.
Shout out looks. We're on the bandwagon. We'll talk about that later. But on a more serious note, Twitter is one of the first Web2 applications or companies or whatever entities to have integrated a Web3 kind of interface on that site. So whenever you have the Twitter Blue, you can actually link your wallet to it and verify that your profile picture is actually an NFT. And doing so, you no longer have a circular profile
icon,
picture, an icon. Now you have a hexagon.
Right.
So, and what's really cool is you click on someone's hexagon. Let's say someone has an ape.
Right.
You click it, and then it'll tell you verified Bored Ape Yacht Club verified collection on OpenSea.
Wow.
So
going back to episode 2, you know how we're talking about all the negativity in the space where people are saying like I could just right click and download the JPEG. Twitter is verifying that you are the actual owner of an NFT. So that meme kind of...
It's dying.
It dissolves. Like,
yeah.
Daniel, what do you think, Thunder?
No, I agree. It's dying out. Twitter's, they're going ham in his NFT space. Yeah. And I can't blame them. I mean, they're becoming the number one platform for NFTs. I think that's a great thing for them. Good for them, for sure.
So another great thing on the aspect of us talking about Twitter right now, I was actually listening to a Bloomberg Twitter space. And so Bloomberg is talking about crypto and NFTs, and it's crazy to see these, you know, these big entities in the space as well. And they know what's going on.
What is mainstream media saying? Are they bullish or are they bearish about it? Or is there a lot of skepticism, or what are they?
Well, it's about NFTs in general. Yeah, so yeah. I saw an article with Goldman Sachs, and they said that the metaverse is a possible $8 trillion.
Wow.
What do you call that? Assets or industry? $8 trillion. Dude.
Yeah. It's so there obviously is still people who are very skeptical, but we have some very big players who are in the space. Now, this is something that, and what I'm going to talk about right now, I picked up a lot of it from that Bloomberg spaces that was held. So just shout out to Bloomberg and all the information that they're providing. And it's very great to see this information from the other side, because us as people who are interacting in the NFT space, we feel as a tight-knit community who is all about decentralization. So whenever we're seeing these bigger companies, these bigger players coming in, we kind of have like a pushback, because we're like, hey, you fuckers are centralized and we're not about that life. We want to be decentralized. We're tired of all the BS taxation that is going around. We're tired of the fucking IRS. We can, that's a whole nother tangent. But what I will say is I appreciate their point of view and what they're saying. So something that they said was that NFTs and Bitcoin are risk assets, right? So they're risk assets, and they don't recommend that people put in a huge amount of their portfolio. But those in Bloomberg who are not reporters or more like a journalist, are able to invest. And they disclose that some of them actually do have Ethereum or Bitcoin, and some of them actually have some NFT projects to be part of a community. So they're saying that it's a risk asset. And what they're also saying is that the community, like I just spoke about, is giving a little pushback to these Web2 players. And they also highlighted something very important, which was how these Web2 giants like Facebook and Twitter and all these corporations that are getting into Web3 are still being the big players in Web3. So that's kind of what's like, hey, well, it's the same people who are winning over and over again.
Right.
But it only makes sense because they're the first ones to adopt it. They're not being laggards.
I think sometimes we take for granted how much we genuinely do know about NFT, about crypto. Just here alone, us three, I would guess that we've put in thousands of hours to kind of understand cryptos, NFTs, ledgers, altcoins, main coins, blue chips, etc. So to kind of hear mainstream media give a small pushback is okay, because we don't become an echo chamber, and we're able to kind of see their point of view and just kind of make up better conclusions about how we genuinely feel about the crypto NFT space. We wanted to discuss step-by-step process on how to buy crypto and what the end goal is. What's the first step?
Yeah, well, so, you know, before we get any further into this, I just want to mention to you guys that, you know, none of this is financial advice. Everything you do in the crypto space, investing your money, it's all high risk. Just be careful on that issue. I guess let's get into exchanges. So several exchanges that are out there, I personally use Coinbase, not Coinbase Pro. There's two different Coinbases on the App Store, iOS. I currently use Coinbase for all my transactions. Do you guys use anything else?
I use crypto.com to buy all my coins. How about you?
Yeah, I use crypto.com as well. I like the user friendliness, but I also did Google some exchanges for people who want to look at some other ones.
Right.
So we have Coinbase, which here it says that it's the best for beginners. Binance US, so that's the best for the lowest fees.
And sorry to cut you off, but so Binance, you guys know, if you guys are in Texas, or there's several states that some of these exchanges don't work in, and Binance in Texas doesn't work for us currently for some reason. So
another one is crypto.com, and it's the best for security.
Gotcha. I don't think we kind of discussed it. What is an exchange?
Yeah, so an exchange is basically where they pretty much you can exchange your US fiat, which is your US dollar, into a type of cryptocurrency. So I put in $100 into this exchange and I'm able to pretty much exchange it for Ethereum, Solana, Bitcoin, pretty much any, not any cryptocurrency of your liking, but whatever that exchange has listed.
I'm not a huge technical person or
right.
anything like that. I research on what I need to know so that I can move forward. All I'm doing on crypto.com is I'm transferring my money right. and then I exchange it for the token that I need, whether okay. that be an ER720 token, so like an Ethereum-based token, whether that be a different chain like Solana. All these different types of tokens are on different chains.
Gotcha.
Basically, all this is for you to switch your dollar to whatever chain that you want to participate in.
Okay. Yeah, and if you want to get into a certain cryptocurrency, so like I was saying, like exchanges have different tokens listed. So, you know, let's say I want to buy Binance. I know crypto.com has Binance. Right. I know Coinbase doesn't have Binance.
Right.
So you run into instances like that. So really just whatever fits best for your needs and your trades.
Okay, so let me get this straight. Someone who doesn't know anything about cryptos or NFTs, the very first thing they have to do is download an application or the web desktop for crypto.com, for Binance, for Coinbase. They make their account. They put their credit debit card in there. And they decide which coin they want to buy. Okay, so let's say this individual has $100, puts in $100, and then takes out, oh, I guess, 0.05 ETH or something like that, somewhere around there. What happens to that 0.05 ETH? Do they own it right there and then? Where is that ETH? Is it in the exchange?
I get where you're going. This is why it's important to do your research, because you have to choose the right exchange. Let's say you're like, oh, I have Robinhood, I can buy crypto. Well, Robinhood is a captive app right now. So captive means that you're not, they actually own the crypto on their ledger. It's theirs, right? It's in correct. Their account. So you kind of like, you own it at face value, like what it's worth. And you can choose to sell it, but they're gonna, just going to give you the US dollar for it. If you want what you had bought, you cannot actually transfer it out. Now, the transferring out is where it matters, because the first step is to get the exchange to buy your cryptocurrency to be able to transfer it out to your MetaMask to be able to access Web3 or the grid.
What is MetaMask?
MetaMask.
Yeah.
What is MetaMask, bro?
Yeah. So MetaMask is another type of wallet. It's I'm not too sure the best way to explain it other than that. It's another wallet, and you use that to surf the web, but not Web2, Web3. So you pretty much it's pretty much an interface to get onto the Web3 and do your transactions. It's what keeps your money, your crypto.
Yeah. So let's bring it back to what we're always talking about, wallet. So the first step, you guys, was downloading an exchange, right?
Right.
You guys get an exchange going, get your fiat in there. You find the currency that you like, and then the next step after that is you guys get your wallet. So wallets, there's a few out there. The ones that I think we all use is MetaMask,
yeah.
If I'm correct, right? Raul, do you use MetaMask?
Yeah, MetaMask is GOAT. I think they probably have 90% of all the individuals who are in the crypto NFT space.
So. Yeah, so you get MetaMask off of the iOS App Store. Once you download MetaMask, so you create your account, put in your information, and they give you a seed phrase. A seed phrase is basically a security code that only you and only you should yeah. know. That seed phrase is what, 12, 13 words?
12 words.
12 words.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it basically randomized. It's, yeah. I don't know, just
you'll,
random words.
Superman, yeah, you'll have hell. Tornado, globes, you know.
Yeah. So
I just told you two of my 12.
about to get hacked, bro. You gotta be careful. So yeah, they give you the seed phrase. You guys want to save that seed phrase. You don't want to take a picture of it.
No.
You don't want to, what else? You don't want to save it to your computer.
Correct.
You don't want to save it to your phone.
Not in a Word doc. If it could get hacked, you don't want to have it there.
Yeah, so you want to do it the old school way. You want to write it down on a piece of paper, but if you want to keep it very safe, I'd say the best route is to probably buy something that's, that you can engrave it in metal and just create a seed phrase on metal. You can find them on Amazon. They're, I guess, like hard ledger or something like that.
Yeah.
and pretty much that's it, right? So that start, that's how MetaMask starts off. You do your seed phrase, make your account, you're done with that.
Can I give a little context on that?
Yeah, no, go ahead.
So I don't know if y'all remember the story of the guy who had like 12,000 Bitcoins in a hard drive. I guess there was an individual that forgot their seed phrase or their secret phrase or whatever their code is. And that wallet that he had it in had millions of dollars worth of Bitcoin. And guess what? He never wrote down his secret phrase. And just so people understand that if you don't have that secret phrase, there's not customer support. There's not a phone number you could call. There's nothing. If you lose it, it's gone.
That's the beauty of a decentralized network, is no one else is going to know what your seed phrase is.
Exactly.
Other than yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
So, okay, we bought $100 worth of ETH. We created the MetaMask account. How do I get my ETH from crypto.com, from Coinbase, into my MetaMask? How does that happen?
Yeah, so basically all you have to do is that you have to click transfer on your exchange.
So I'm sorry for interrupting you. So your MetaMask, inside the MetaMask, they're going to give you a wallet address.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's a wallet address within that MetaMask. Yeah. And then I'm sorry. You can go ahead and continue.
I was going to say that.
Just, I'm sorry, dude. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you're good. You're good. Hey, it's some good whiskey, huh? No, we're good. We're good, brother. So like he said, you're going to have that address from MetaMask.
Okay.
Now you go and hit transfer on your exchange. It's going to ask you whether you want to transfer fiat or if you want to transfer crypto. You're going to go ahead and click crypto. It's going to ask you which crypto, and they're going to have a list. You're going to click ETH, which is ETH, Ethereum. So just real quick before we keep going on, Ethereum is the platform and Ether is like the currency of like kind of that platform. So we can kind of get things straight, right? So you click on Ether and it's going to ask you, for an address to send it to. And that's where you need to go on your MetaMask. Click on your address, which usually starts with a 0x followed by some other numbers and letters.
Yeah, where is this address on the MetaMask in terms of like the display, the interface? Where do I find it?
So if you go to your wallet on MetaMask, hit wallet, it's going to be like right smack in the middle, and you'll be able to see it. It's like on top of, it'll be an address, and then on the bottom of it, it'll have send, receive, transfer.
Yeah, and I think they've made it easy enough to where you can just click it.
Yeah, and it'll copy.
It'll copy itself. And it's several digits. It starts off with like 0xb31, mm-hmm. whatever it is, and it goes on from there. Everybody's is different. Everyone has a different wallet address.
Exactly. Yeah.
So then you copy that address, you paste it in there, and then you're going to go ahead and transfer it out. And you need to pay attention whenever you're going through the prompts of how much the network fee to transfer a currency or a token costs.
Wait, you're telling me that it costs money to transfer from crypto and Coinbase to my MetaMask?
Yes. Whenever you're transacting or participating in Ethereum, it comes at a premium. If you want to play the game, you're going to have to pay some money, and it could be worth it, but it just costs money to transact in this space.
Yeah, and so you guys know, every network is different on what they charge for transactions. Ethereum, it is the premium platform. So Ethereum will be a little more on the expensive side. You get into Solana is a little bit on the cheaper side. But not only that, also these exchanges will charge you fees when you're exchanging your dollar, US dollar, or whatever currency you use, into a crypto. So if I want Ethereum, I'm going to get charged for trading it. If I want Solana, I'm going to get charged for trading it. So whatever you exchange, you'll get a fee for it.
So I guess there's a disconnect. One, why is there a fee? And two, who's getting the money for the fee? Can anyone elaborate on that?
So that's where they make their money, the exchanges.
Right.
They make their money off those fees. So you'll see, it'll break it down for you. I know Coinbase for sure breaks it down.
Okay.
Coinbase fee, $30, Ethereum exchange, and so on and so forth, et cetera, you know, for every different type of token.
Gotcha. Is that the same as gas, or are we talking about two different things?
So this is getting into it, like first starting off, like that's the first those are going to be the first fees that you start to realize, like, oh shit, this is eating my money up.
There is a small gas fee, unless I'm mistaken, but it seems to me, because I usually have to pay like $6 or something.
So and then they break it down. So Coinbase will tell you, you know, you're going to spend this much for this amount.
But it's definitely, whenever you're transferring and doing transfers between wallets, it's definitely less of a gas fee than it is when you're trying to buy or sell something on OpenSea. And I think because it costs less, or like it's probably less energy to do a transfer.
Exactly.
Because it's just like from point A to B, and they don't have to, you know, do the, you know, it costs more to do all that other stuff. But yeah, so once you, it's going to cost fees, y'all, but if you want to get into the space, that's what it costs to play, and everyone is paying it. So it's not like you're at a disadvantage. That's just, it is what it is. But you shouldn't let that deter you. You should definitely go for it. So once you go ahead and transfer that Ethereum to your wallet, it's going to take a little bit. It might take 5, 10, 15 minutes. If the network is super busy, it could even take 30 minutes to an hour. So don't get scared. You know, it's scary when you're first starting to interact and use these new wallets and everything, because you're like, I haven't done this before. What if I send it to the wrong place?
And to add to that, I think the best way to do it, just starting off your very first time, is do a small transaction. Don't throw $10,000 and send it to your address, just in case you might have copied the wrong address.
Exactly.
You don't want it to go to somebody else. You want to kind of be, you know, watch what you're doing with what your transactions.
But there's also another tip and trick there, that there's certain places that you have to send a minimum requirement, and if you send less than that, then you lose it as well. So just make sure that there's no minimums whenever you're sending ETH.
Just while we're talking about exchanges, whenever there's a new currency or a new token that's posted on an exchange and it's very, very brand new, you have to be careful, because you might want to buy it and you might want to transfer it to your wallet, to your MetaMask, and you do it very fast because you just get accustomed to transferring. But you really need to take your time with reading the costs of transferring. And I'll give you an example. I bought Axie Infinity AXS token, and I had bought it at $16 or $20 a piece. And this was at an earlier time, and crypto had barely listed AXS on their exchange. And I went to transfer, and I needed to transfer 20 of them, right? Because I was using it for a game. So I transferred and I just rushed through it. And the transaction fee was actually 15 AXS to transfer out of crypto.com, because it was so new, like it was a high tax. So literally I paid like $300 to $500 and I lost most of it. Just by transfer.
Gotcha.
That's so nasty.
That sucks, man.
So always look at the transaction fees whenever you're doing anything in the crypto NFT space. So, okay, now we have our ETH into our MetaMask, right? Okay, so now you have money to play.
Yeah.
How do you play?
There's several different ways to play. Now, you can go on OpenSea, and that's that's the biggest marketplace.
Wow, that boy said OpenSea, dude.
I know. it's the biggest marketplace, but they have a lot of fees. But there's another marketplace that's called Lux, and on that one, we'll go into it more a little bit later. But what I do want to say is, before you play, I know we're talking about how to get started, but before you play, you better do your fucking homework.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
There's no reason you're spending $200, $500, $1,000, and you've done zero homework. Like, you're just going to lose that shit.
There is thousands and thousands of projects out there. You want to make sure you get into the verified, correct project. You don't want to go into some random project that looks cool, but actually is just lost into the blockchain. You want to get into something that's official, something that's...
So how about this? And I'm going to ask y'all, since we're trying to get our listeners started into the space and how to start transacting, we've walked them through on what it takes and how to get the money there.
Yes.
So part of how to play, this is part of it, knowing how to do your research. So what does it entail?
So for me, I believe community, when I'm looking at a project to invest in, I need to make sure that there's a community there. it just can't be a random project that has like five followers, right? So for me, the first thing to do is see if they have a Discord, because Discord is where the community interacts with one another. And so I check if they have a Discord, and if they do, the very first metric I see, how many followers are in that Discord. If I see one or 2,000 people in the Discord, I'm iffy already, right? But if I see 20, 30, 40, 50,000 people constantly interacting, then I know that there's a community behind the project, and I know that people are going to invest money into that project, which I know that I can maybe make some money in between that.
Yeah, so if just for you guys to know, Discord, you can download it in the iOS store, and I'm pretty sure it's also on the Android store. And for you gamers, you probably already know what Discord is. It's where we voice chat with each other whenever we're playing games together. Shouts out, Rick Crew.
Yeah, it's basically the equivalent to like Skype or Google Chat or whatever it is you use in a business setting. Zoom is what teachers and a lot of businesses are doing. Discord is just the gaming crypto NFT space for, you know, discussion.
What I would say is that, and I agree with y'all, what y'all said, the Discord matters. The people who are communicating matters. Another thing I would say is that you have to do your research on who's running the project.
Yeah.
Because in this space, since there's so much money, a lot of people people who are developers and are creating projects,
right,
they'll launch a project. It does okay. They get some money, then it fails. They leave it alone and they go on to the next. Exactly. So you can start to see who the fuck is like not actually caring about the community, not caring about the people who are investing in them. And this is where, go for it.
So I feel like this is a great example where Gary Vee is very important in the space, right? Because Gary Vee would never rug pull anyone. And just so everyone knows, a rug pull is like where they create a project, everybody puts all their money in there, and then they pull all the money out, and now all your assets are worth nothing, right?
Because they leave the project.
They pull the rug, right? The creator is extremely important because you know what? Gary Vee's reputation is more important than the money he would make on a project. And so the same thing applies to any project. If we see Adidas make a project, if we see Louis Vuitton make a project, if we see these brands where the brand is more important than that crypto project, then you know majority of the time that's going to succeed.
Right. Yeah. No, I'm with you. So definitely you have to do your research into the jockey.
Yep.
Into the jockey, not the horse, whoever is running the project. And before we're going to take an intermission soon. But before we get going, we just wanted to thank you so much for listening in and for letting us guide you through this space.
Crypto Junkies NFT Talk, turn it on. Crypto Junkies NFT Talk, that's my show.
Hello, let's talk crypto. Which way to go? Need right info. I'm a junkie for the knowledge, you got it. Technology on the move, we ride.
All right, so we're back from our intermission. Had a refill on our whiskey, and my boy Raul drinking what, Dos Equis?
Some Dos.
Yeah, so let's get back into this overview, guys. I know it's a lot of information. It is somewhat overwhelming to begin with, but kind of take it step by step, and you guys will be good. Day by day, you guys will get better at it. We all started in the same position. You'll be good. So we did the exchanges. Okay. We went over several exchanges.
Coinbase, crypto.com.
Coinbase, exactly, et cetera. We talked about creating your wallet, downloading that stuff.
MetaMask.
Mm-hmm. MetaMask. And
there's
several out there. Trust Wallet, Rainbow. And, you know, the list is long. There's so many out there.
We just recommend MetaMask because it's the most compatible with everything, the least amount of headaches.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. So agreed on that. We want to get into doing your proper research. You guys want to go onto Twitter. You want to follow projects. You want to join somebody's Discord randomly. Follow a big one right now is Bored Apes. I know it's a lot out of reach for a lot of people. Get into that project. Get onto their Discord.
Be friends.
Just be friends.
It's Lazy Lions.
Lazy Lions. And just, you know, go through their Discord and read what their community has to say. Read what the people are saying. Kind of get a feel for it at first.
Yeah,
right?
with an open mind. Just be a sponge and absorb everything everyone's saying, all the lingo, all the terminology, everything they're saying about future and past projects. Just consume all the knowledge you possibly can, because that will help you.
So Alexis, question.
Out, yeah.
Question on talking about what they're looking for in Discord. What are you saying? What would you say are some things that they want to look for? And just like, I kind of want you to go over people who talk a lot about the floor price, people who talk about community, people do Twitter raids. Like, where's the, what are some tidbits that you can give our listeners about how to distinguish what's good and what's bad?
Yeah. So going back to kind of what I said before our break, community is extremely important. So the first, once again, the very first metric I notice is how many people are in the space, are in the Discord. I need at least 20, 30,000 people, right? But no, people create bots and, you know, they could fluff up that number.
Yes.
So the very next step that I look into is to see how active the community is.
The organic,
yeah,
organic growth of it.
Exactly. Yeah. So what do? I go, there's channels on Discord, right? There's facts page, there's the general chat, there's an NFT chat, crypto chat, etc. I always go to the general chat because that's usually where the community kind of talks amongst each right. other. And so I go in there and I just kind of see how active that community is. If they're constantly talking amongst each other, then I know that everyone's hyped about the project. I know you were talking about ETH floor and price predictions. So yeah, absolutely. So if I see the community members hyping up the project and saying, like, for example, let's say X project was at one ETH, right? And if I see everybody saying like, hold, HODL, right? Hold on to dear life. This is going to 2, this is going to 5, this is going to 10 ETH, then it allows me to be more confident to invest in that project because I know that the community are strong believers in that project.
Mm-hmm. So then that kind of, so what you're kind of saying is that, and tell me if you agree, Daniel, that he's talking right now about people who are more about holding or hodlers.
Yep.
Versus people who talk about the floor when it drops like 0.1 or when it drops a certain percentage.
The futters.
The futters and the people
What's
who are.
What's a futter? Fear, uncertainty, and doubt. If you guys listen to episode 1, you might have caught a glimpse.
I like that take though, right? So if the community is more interested in the future of the project, if they're more interested in the price predictions, instead of being interested of the project dropping 0.1 ETH or very, you know, minimal amount, then you know that the community is very passionate and involved and devoted to the project itself rather right. than flippers. Because
pumpers. Pump and dump.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's why you have to be in the space because you have to, and over time you'll get better at doing it, but you have to distinguish whether you have a community of believers
right,
or if you have a community of paper handers.
Yeah.
Right. So people who are just there for the flip.
Tag them right now, bro. Tag
at thundermonkey.eth. Yeah. Okay. So cool. We talked about even before you start to invest, you have to do your research.
Just so you guys know, like if you guys have any questions, hit us up on our Instagram.
Yeah.
It is Crypto Junkies, right?
Crypto Junkies Podcast.
Crypto Junkies. You can find us on Twitter.
Twitter, Crypto which Junkies. Is Crypto Junkies Podcast.
And you can find us on Facebook.
Crypto Junkies Podcast.
You can find us on LinkedIn.
Crypto Junkies Podcast.
You can find us on TikTok.
Crypto Junkies Podcast.
You can find us on Tinder. But only one of us is free. That's me, okay? So, yeah, the boy.
But yeah, you know, with any questions, anything you guys have, no question, you know, what would you say? Well, no question is too simple for us to answer for you guys. We're here to help at all times.
I don't think any of us proclaim ourselves to be experts, but we're definitely a couple of steps ahead of the masses, the general population.
Oh yeah. I mean, I know that you're doing your best to be modest also because we don't want to hurt any of the people listening to us, which
right.
means like we don't want to lead you on the wrong path.
Right.
I had someone that I followed on Twitter and he's a lazy lion. I don't know what number, but it's good, I guess, because I'm not going to put him on blast. But it was a lazy lion, and he was talking to his family during the holidays, during Christmas, during, you know, New Year about Ethereum and the new network and everything that's coming out and how it's going to boom. And, you know, supposedly, who knows if this story is true, right? It could be fake news. But supposedly, this said person took out their kids' college fund or or whatever and put it into ETH, and then fucking week later ETH crashes, you know,
loses 50% of its value, bro.
And supposedly this said lazy lion is being disowned by his family.
So kind of going back to our conversation, right? At least for me, I don't know if y'all have seen it. I've always see it in crypto NFT projects, but there's this triangle and it describes the perfect project. And I already brought up one of them is community at the very top. And then it's utility as number two. And I believe it was the artwork as number three.
Right.
Can y'all kind of go into detail about utility and then we'll go with artwork?
Yeah, so, you know, I could bring up a project that I got into a few months ago.
Love
it. Kind of just describe the utility behind it. So there was this project called Blockchain Miners Club, and you can find them on OpenSea, looksrare.org.
Looks rare. Let's go, baby.
Yeah, let's go. Looks rare. So Blockchain Miners Utility. This is where it gets interesting with NFTs, because not all NFTs are just artwork. There is some with utility, and if you're interested into utility, you go for that, right? Something that catches your attention. What caught my attention from Blockchain Miners is that they were using some of the funds that was used to mint the project to buy 100 miners at a mining farm. And so basically we'll get into mining later, but they were able to mine Bitcoin. You know, it was every month they were projecting to get one Bitcoin. And so that's a sort of utility that you're going to find in some of these projects. They're going to provide you with something that's going to be offered to you whenever you mint a project. There's so many out there that have different cases, right? Different utilities. So, yeah. I mean, have you guys gotten into anything that has provided you with some utility? Well, I know you're going to bring up, I already know what you're going
to
bring up.
But before you bring that up, Raul, just for our audience to know, utility is essentially dividends in the stock space. It's just if you hold a part of the coin or a part of the project, then there's some utility, there's some dividend, there's a payout, there's a reward for holding those, ownership of the project.
All right. So I'm going to talk about some utility that from some projects that I've been in. So some of the utility, so there's two. I'm going to start with the main one, the best project of them all. So Mirror Mirror on the Wall.
Not financial advice.
Which NFT is the best of them all? It's VFriends. VFriends is the best of them all. So no, okay. So with VFriends, I actually have the utility where because I own a token, I am able to attend VCon, which is going to be this super fantastic conference with a bunch of influencers, top level influencers, artists in the NFT space, emerging artists, just people who are, and if you're part of the VFriends community, even those who don't own a VFriend are still in the Discord, y'all are still part of the community. But those people, we're usually more of the entrepreneurial type of spirit, people who are looking to do better, people who wanna help other people grow, people who wanna figure it out themselves. So having access to this conference is just you're in the community of people who want to grow. And that's why I see so much value, because I'm going to be having that direct access. I can ask the questions that I've been longing to ask. They can give me information of the other side, because some of these people are way more successful than we've been able to get, right? So that's very cool. And then another one that I wanted to mention is going to be Looks. Which is the token, the coin, or like, I guess the native token of looksrare.org. So LooksRare is a marketplace that is coming for OpenSea. And so OpenSea is the biggest NFT trading marketplace. So
right now they're like the Amazon of the NFT world.
Yeah. They're the Amazon
right now.
Right now.
So far.
I disagree. I think they're the eBay before Amazon came out. And you know what? LooksRare is Amazon that's going to take over.
Yeah, there you go. I love it.
So with OpenSea, it's the most popular. There's how many billions were traded this last month in January?
I think there was 4 billion.
It was high, dude. Like crazy.
Yeah, it might have been $4 billion on OpenSea.
I think the first month of 2022 beat out the sales volume of the last 3 to 4 months of 2021.
Insane. Mass adoption is happening right now.
Yeah. It's fucking crazy. And so with OpenSea, there's a bunch of trading going on. And this company, OpenSea, has made so much money from the transaction fees and everything that they're doing, but they haven't put forth their best effort, in my opinion. Yeah.
And not to bring down OpenSea, because we trade on it, but to respect them, like, they were one of the first platforms in 2017.
Yeah.
So mad respect to OpenSea for sure.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
there's different options out there. And
okay, so with OpenSea, yeah, like, we can't, yeah, y'all, you guys fucking did it big and y'all blew up. So mad props on that. Now, what's happening now, though, is that there's another marketplace that was created and they distributed some tokens for free. So people who transacted more than 3 Ethereum had certain tokens airdropped to them. And what's going on is that with this marketplace, whenever you have their native token staked, you actually receive APR.
What is staking? Simple as you can.
Simple as I can. Staking means that I have a token and I'm going to put it somewhere and I am vowing not to move it. And for me not moving it, I'm going to receive a certain percent of interest on what I put in.
So I guess, why does that benefit the community? Why do we stake anything?
So we're staking it right now. And Thunder, both Thunder and I, like, kind of found out about the same time because we're both in the space. But Thunder was a lot more bullish before me. And I think he's a bit more researched. But, and so correct me if I'm wrong, but with what we stake, we actually are receiving a percentage of the Lux tokens that are still out there to be distributed or in the supply, right? That Lux, the company, has. And in addition, we are also receiving a portion of the transactions that occur in the marketplace. For instance, it's pretty much like a marketplace that is rewarding their community for trading and for staking. So imagine had OpenSea had a native token created where they could stake all the way since August back then, and you can buy it for dirt cheap, you keep it, whatever, you believe in OpenSea. Now OpenSea is doing billions of dollars per month in transaction fees, and or like, I don't even, not transaction fees, it's going to be less, but
sales.
But they're doing sales, but they're sales, doing
transactions.
In transaction fees, I bet that's still millions and millions and millions of dollars.
Millions.
Like a lot. I don't know if 100 mil. Like,
I mean,
more.
You know, think about it. They did 4 billion in 30 days. Like,
that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's a few million dollars a week.
Do you know the answer that Raul was saying that at least when you stake, you're generating more Lux tokens? Is there a max supply or are they constantly growing the supply in the circulation?
No, there's definitely a max supply right now. Right now, their tokenomics is very vague in what they do. CoinGecko and CoinMarketCap, they give you an idea of what the max supply is. And I think it's 100. That's like 100 or maybe a trillion. It might be a trillion token. So just really bullish on Lux Rare. They're a great platform. They're the biggest thing we just mentioned and get into a project is that these guys are about the community.
Oh,
they listen to people on Twitter. Like we said before, Twitter has become the NFT social platform. You'll see Lux Rare. You can follow them on there and they'll discuss, you know, the idea. They'll listen to the ideas that people post on there and they'll adapt to what's going on in the NFT space.
So this is a warning to OpenSea. If you do not adapt, then Lux is going to bankrupt you. Lux.rare, bullish, very bullish.
Yeah. I just went ahead and checked CoinGecko. And tidbit, CoinGecko is a place that you can go to check out the different cryptocurrencies and tokens that are out there. And you can view graphs and things like that.
Is there any other popular ones that you know of?
I think there's one that you use. I think it's called CoinMarketCap.
Yeah, that's where I'm at right now.
Yeah, man, I follow you, Thunder Monkey. So I just want to say that Lux is up 22% as we're having this podcast. Officially has broken the $5 threshold, and we're up at $5.23 right now. So
yeah, that's
we dipped from...
Bullish, baby.
We dipped from... So. Before the ETH crash, and obviously everything got affected because of the uncertainty of the market,
right.
we were headed towards 7. We did hit 7.
Yeah.
And then we dipped all the way down to $3. We were so bullish that we start here in this podcast, we started to accumulate around 350, $4. And we're like, hey, it looks good. that we're earning rewards. We like, fuck, I wish we would have found out about these rewards like 2 weeks ago.
Exactly.
We would have put in everything and like, let's go.
Yo, it's because they don't listen to me, guys. I've been talking about looks since day one, and these guys, they just like, man.
I fucking sold my free looks, bro. Like,
yeah, so
we sold them.
Yeah, man, I was, so let me tell y'all, like, and this, I guess it's how bullish we are. I was given around 1500 looks for free. And wow. I sold it at $3 at $3.80. I sold it at $3.80, and then it pumped 2 days later to $7. I was like, shit, you know, I could have made more. And then I started hearing about everyone on Twitter looks, you know, it's a platform, and I started to become informed. Thunder Monkey over here looks. And then I staked some. I ended up buying back in what I sold, and I bought it back in at double. So like, there goes like my belief, you know, that right. I would sell it at 3.8 and then I would buy back at $7.
Long story short, we're all bullish. I think we as a group have invested honestly about $100,000 collectively within our group.
It's not
50K, bro.
No, like 50K. No, I'm dead serious. It's 100,000.
I invested 30,
20. I mean, that's already 15.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be in 10 pretty soon.
Yeah. 60. Alex.
15.
15, 20.
Yeah.
No, I mean, we're closer to 100 than we are 50.
Shit, you ain't lying, bro. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
No, how about let's talk about a little bit of the rewards for the community, or we don't want
to
put that out
there. No. Let's go back to like what makes a good project, right?
Oh, sorry. So we got off on a tangent. Yeah. We're shilling the shit out of looks. Yeah. You guys better go buy.
So
it's community. It was utility, and that's why we discussed Lux. And the third was the art project. Artwork. Yeah.
And so, you know, let's go back to the artwork. I know my boy Raul's, and says he follows a pretty big artist on Twitter. But, you know, let's name a few. I know there's Beeple out there. Beeple recently sold a NFT project for, I'm pretty sure it was a one-on-one. He sold it for $69 million. Which is nuts. And
wow.
Beeple, if you guys don't know, you can follow him on Twitter. You can follow him on Instagram. Beeple, he pretty much creates like these 3D figures. And it's just what's good is you can choose to your liking. If you're into his art, if you're into any of these artists, anything they come up with, anything they create, then for sure, you know, kind of keep up with them, follow them, and, you know, see what they have for the foreseeable future and what upcoming projects they have. I know Raul is big on there's one guy on Twitter that you're big into.
Yeah, I'm into Pac. He's an anonymous designer, technologist, the programmer, and a digital creator. And he's been active for a very, very long time in the design space and coding and digital art and motion design. So he's been active for 2 decades, dude. So 20 years being a programmer, artist, designer, all this technical genius that we've talked about. And now it's the era of Web3. So like, he knows the smart contracts, how to create his work. Like, Murat Pak is one of the creators that I invest in that I have the least amount of trouble whenever I'm trying to mint. You know, usually it costs all this type of gas fee when you're trying to buy from a famous or a very popular creator. But with Murat Pak, I end up paying $20 or $7 for gas fee because this guy is a technologist and he knows how to set up the contract for it to flow how it has to.
Wow.
So he just has some marvelous designs, like cubes. He reminds me, if anyone's ever seen like on Netflix, like Zima Blue, like from Love, Death, and Robots, if I'm not murdering it. But it's this episode on this series about an artist who is like this little robot and he cleans pools. They upgrade him throughout the decades and he becomes this Zima Blue who he starts painting, and he paints these big like blue squares, and it gets so big where he's painting outer space and everyone comes to see his art. And then at the end of it all, he dives into a pool, you know, when everyone's watching, waiting for his biggest creation. And he dives into a pool and turns back into that little robot that was looking at blue cubes as he was cleaning the pool. And that was his whole like premise of the art. But in addition, so that's kind of the style. If you ever watch that episode, that it reminds me of. And then you can actually burn these pieces of art for a currency or a token called ASH that holds value if you exchange it for USD. So it's this whole game technology art thing that he has going on that is fascinating to me.
For me, artwork is subjective. And for our audience, it's not the most coolest looking or the most high def looking artwork that's going to succeed. Everyone's interpretation of what is good artwork is different.
Correct.
For example, what was that toad that was like 8-bit and went up for like 5-6 ETH? It was like ugly looking crypto toads.
Crypto toads.
For the general public that doesn't know anything about crypto or NFTs, even us, when we originally saw that artwork, we didn't think it would succeed because the artwork wasn't that great for our understanding of what artwork is.
For our liking, yeah.
Exactly. But what happened? It blew up. It's not what you like. It's about understanding or getting the pulse of the of all the people in the crypto NFT space and what they like. And then that's how you know you could identify a good artwork or style.
That is very well said. That's beautiful.
I like that take. But you can't always account for the degenerates.
The what?
I said that's a great take, but you can't always account for the degenerates.
The degens
will make shit pump, bro.
So I guess one more thing that we wanted to talk about before we closed out Crypto Junkies episode number 3 was talking about roadmaps. I feel like that's important before we close it out. What is a roadmap?
So a roadmap is pretty much what a company or what a project who's run by certain entities are telling you that they're going to do for the community. So there has to be, the reason that they come up with it is because it's their sales pitch to you. You know, it's like, hey, this is, we're going to do, we're going to do XYZ. We're going to create merch. We're going to do this. You're going to get royalties. You're going to XYZ so that you spend the money on their PFP, right? They're trying to build the community. They're telling you what their community is about. And now it's up to you if you want to join that quote unquote country club of the metaverse.
Yeah. Cause they'll tell you, hey, quarter one, we're going to mint our project. Quarter two, we're going to give everybody a free bobblehead.
I haven't got one.
Quarter three, we'll give you a free merchandise. Quarter four, we'll give you guys 100,000 of their DAO tokens and so on and so forth. You know, and it gets in deep. Every community is different. Every project is different. They all come out with different things. But at the end of the day, I think they all have a similarity. In some sense.
So how do we feel about roadmaps? You think it's necessary to have a good project?
So you know, you bringing up the pyramid.
Yeah.
I definitely feel like that's probably outside of the pyramid. Okay. It's there, but personally, it doesn't affect the choices that I make in this NFT space.
Yeah, same. Because whenever I'm trading, like, obviously, it depends on what you're looking for. Either you're going long term or you're going short term. When I'm trading, I look at volume. I look at the artwork, how it looks. I look at some stuff, but roadmap, I don't give a damn about a roadmap. Like, you know, people say they're going to go to the fucking moon, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Right.
We haven't really done it, have we? It's all a fucking conspiracy.
Yeah, it's all about the moon, bro. But a roadmap is all fluff. You could tell your audience you're going to do X, Y, and Z, but majority of the time, most roadmaps never actually come into fruition. It's just, you know, a sales pitch, essentially.
Who hurt you, bro?
Hey, bro.
Elon Musk, huh? when he dumped Dogecoin on you?
Yeah. So essentially a roadmap is not a deal breaker, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Can we give a very small overview of everything we kind of discussed?
Yeah. So let's do an overview. So, we talked about exchanges.
Okay.
We talked about MetaMask, your wallet.
We talked about marketplaces.
Yeah, so, you know, do your research. We started getting into utility.
We started to get into...
community.
Well, the community, what else did we...
Artwork. Uh-huh. And that, you know, that's our triangle, I guess. That's what we're going to own up to. That makes a pretty decent project. Community, utility, artwork. And if you have all three, then you could have
a perfect project.
Yeah.
Or not perfect, but a great project.
Yeah. No, I think we've pretty much gone over what we had to for this episode. We try to provide some basic fundamental knowledge, which we did, but it's a bunch of information. And yeah, I mean, artwork, like you said, and let's just not forget the most important, do your research. Get the information streamlined.
And I think we all have some tools that we use out in the space. You know, definitely do not hesitate. We will always give you guys any tips.
Yeah. Reach out to us and get a fucking group. Like I mentioned it last episode, I'll mention it again. Get a group of people. You have to be a collective.
And once again, we are not experts in the space. We're just a couple steps ahead of everybody. If you disagree with anything, by all means, come text us on any of our platforms, and we'll be glad to address it in future episodes. So once again, I think we're going to close it off. This is Alexis Morales, aka Havoc. Thank you for joining us in Crypto Junkies episode number 3. I hope we gave enough insight and enough value for you to join us in episode 4 and more episodes to come. Thank you.
This is Down Toledo, aka ThunderMonkey.eth.
This is Raul Garcia, aka Ragnar 4. Don't forget the 4. Thank you so much.
Boop.
Peace.
Bow.
Crypto Junkies. Hello, let's talk crypto, which way to go, need right info, I'm a junkie for the knowledge, you got it, technology on the move, we ride.